I saw the Rabbi Dan Fink this week out on the courthouse steps where we were celebrating some of the first same-sex marriages in Idaho. And there I got a chance to thank him for my sermon illustration today. Some of you may have read his Statesman column a week ago Saturday, in which he told the story of a town, once a thriving center of great learning, that had fallen on hard times. In despair, the people had turned inward in fear and suspicion, and many of them had left altogether. And so those who were left were worried that there wouldn't be enough, and they turned away from one another, hoarding what they had. And so, when a wandering rabbi happened by one day, they asked for help. Yet the rabbi looked around at them and said that there was nothing she could do, for the one who could help them was already among them. She told them that she had it on good authority that the Messiah was already living in the town. This made the good, though frightened, people of the town begin to wonder who among them was the Messiah. And since it could be any one of them, they started paying closer attention. As Rabbi Fink wrote, as they contemplated this matter, the villagers began to interact differently, suddenly treating each other with extraordinary respect. On the off chance that one among them might just be the Messiah. And on account of the even more remote, yet real possibility that each town person, him or herself, might be the Messiah, they began to treat themselves with greater respect as well. And the town was transformed. What if God was one of us? What if the Messiah already dwelt among you? The Messiah is here today. I guarantee it. What if we treated one another as if that were true from the very beginning? For the deepest truth is that God, the Messiah, the potential for great goodness and creating justice, is always among you. That is at least one of the reasons why there is a deeply human, deeply spiritual call to hospitality in every religious tradition, in just about every culture on earth. It is the basis of Benedict's way, his rule for the monks of the order he founded in the 6th century. On a practical level, we are all social beings and we need one another. More transcendentally, we are interconnected with each other and all of creation. I love that we are literally made of stardust. Our connections go back billions of years and are as fresh as the moment when we can see the holy in another face. Yet we are also limited beings in these separate bodies, so we so often forget this connection. And we need reminders like the wandering rabbi brought. Those are good things, good moments. it is easier to consider welcoming the Messiah. Yet what if we are also asked to greet everyone and everything at the door, laughing and invite them in, as the poet Rumi tells us? A joy, a depression, a meanness. Welcome and entertain them all, even if they're a crowd of sorrows who violently sweep your house empty of its furniture. Still, treat each guest honorably. He may be clearing you out for some new delight. It seems this calling to hospitality is indeed radical. The ultimate possibility is transformation, and we can never know what will provide fodder for it. Church consultants are prone to uttering pithy phrases like, "Sunday is for visitors." And truly, Sunday services are almost always the first place that new folks encounter the church. So what you do here on Sundays must be welcoming to newcomers. I always tell celebrants and lay folks who are preaching and planning worship to plan it with two kinds of people in mind. On a Sunday, there will always be someone who is brand new to the congregation. And there will also always be someone who is in great pain. They are often one and the same. People come to this congregation for many reasons. Some have been meaning to for years. Some have just had a friend tell them about Unitarian Universalism and they're intrigued. Yet sometimes people seek out church as a last resort because they are at their wit's end with nowhere else to turn. Every service should welcome the visitor. Greetings should be warm, if not overbearing. People should avoid speaking in church code, that kind of in-group language that develops so easily and which is hard to recognize once you've learned it. Little is less welcoming to someone new to a group than the feeling that everyone else knows what's going on. Sundays must be for visitors because that is people's first living encounter with our faith. It tells people so much about who you are as a community. Still, I take some issue with the Sunday is for visitors thing, because I know that it is not just the newcomers who are sometimes in pain. Because I know that many of you come here for refuge and respite in your lives. Yet here is an even deeper truth. In a very significant way, we are all visitors, all the time. Sometimes we come here as a refuge, yet we also come to be challenged and open to new ways of thinking. Because we have neither dogma nor creed, you can be taken almost anywhere on a Sunday. As a friend once put it, you can be invited to visit new corners of your mind and heart at any time. We are seekers. We welcome all who seek here. We come because we seek novelty, freshness, new ideas. We come not as the end of a search, but to continue our search in the company of others. Sometimes in the summer, I visit other churches. often as a kind of field research. A few years back, I took a field trip to a large evangelical church to see how they worship and do church. Such megachurches are known for their ministry of greeting people, and indeed, I was greeted fully four separate times on my way into the sanctuary. At the edge of the parking lot, outside the front doors, just inside the doors, and then at the door to the sanctuary. The woman at the sanctuary gate took my hand firmly and practically pulled me into the sanctuary. It was a little much for me, but the message came across loud and clear. I was welcome. They were excited about what their church offered, and they wanted me to share in it. Here at Booth, you are welcoming without being quite so effusive. There are many who make a practice of greeting new folks, yet you also know that being here for the first time can be intimidating. New people are often refugees from other traditions or are just from unchurched backgrounds and are entering a little cautiously. You know to move with care and as well as warmth when you greet new folks. Yet there are ways that you are less warm than you mean to be. Even as you are engaging in community, connecting with friends, having conversations about politics, committee work, the sermon that you just heard, do you also hold in your awareness that there are always new seekers who might yearn for what you have found in this church? Hospitality of this kind, welcoming, is everyone's work. Everyone's ministry. Yet how you greet those newest among us also begs the question about why you greet visitors. Like the folks at the evangelical church, you know that there is something truly wonderful and valuable here, a message and a perspective that the world needs. You need not be the only or the loudest faithful voice in the world, yet you want to be heard well and clearly. And you want very much to build a beloved community, a community that cares for each other and for the world, a community that can be a place that harbors you and sends you forth to do the work of kindness and justice. The practice of radical hospitality is in itself a justice-making practice. It is about who you exclude and who you choose, who you bring in. It is about recognizing the holiness and the worth of all people. It's not just about church dynamics, and yet it can still start there. You as a congregation are still experiencing some growing pains. 20 years ago, this was a community in which essentially everyone did know everyone else. You haven't been that way for a good long while, yet sometimes you still act like it. When a church is smaller, welcoming can be more naturally organic. The larger the congregation grows, the more deliberate and intentional your welcoming needs to be. There is no longer any tangible center of the congregation, which can be a little unsettling. People do not connect all in one place. Sunday morning is very important still, and yet it's much more diffuse. And so you need to consider how you weave a web of connections, not of the whole, but in smaller groups. People need to connect in two or three places, be it a chalice circle, a committee or ministry team, a landscaping work party, a potluck, a friendship dinner, going and standing joyfully on the Capitol steps, the courthouse steps. And you need to invite others to join you personally. Letting people know how the church works is very important. You have a new directory that has this really great beginning part of it that tells all of you all of the things. Oh, there it is. It's fabulous. It has all of these pink pages that these are all of the groups, all of the ways to get invited in, all of the ways that you communicate with one another. This is a fabulous resource and starting place. And you still need to invite people in a personal way. In fact, ironically, the larger the church is, the more significant that face-to-face invitation can be, that phone call invitation can be. This becomes a significant spiritual practice, one that this congregation can call you to. We live in a consumer-driven society where we are enculturated to ask first what we are getting from our investment of time, energy, resources. I have said before that a religious community is based, however, on a different kind of equation. We measure it, if it can be measured, in transformation. How have you been changed? How has the world become a more compassionate and caring place because this community exists, because you have come together to create this community together? It's not about what you get from it, although I hope you get a great deal. It's not about what you get from it. It's about how it changes the world, how it widens your own heart. A practice of hospitality lessens the alienation and injustice that is rife in our culture. It creates a community that serves aching hearts. It creates a community that brings more kindness to the world. You have had tangible evidence of the possibility and powerfulness of your presence in Idaho this very week, as marriage equality came at last to this state. Blessedly, you are not alone in this issue, and yet you can still take great satisfaction that you have been a significant part of making this event, this moment, come to pass. You have been advocating on this issue for going on 30 years. Idaho is kinder and more just because of you. Bravo, brava, good work. This is why I invite you to also take up this ministry of welcome and, yes, radical hospitality. I invite those of you who are outgoing and naturally engaging and extroverted, and I invite the shyer souls among you. For you know what it's like to enter a community and can have empathy for other shy souls yearning for community and yet needing to be gently invited in. Yes, it may be a stretch for you Shire people to do this ministry of welcoming, so go ahead and stretch and go for it. The fellowship strand of this community needs more active people on it right now. And this is a great place to take up this practice of radical hospitality that can heal the world. You can do this by welcoming the stranger, by welcoming the new into your own life. Greet all at the door and welcome them in. Be open to change, even transformation. This attraction to this to novelty and newness and new creation is an underlying value of this faith. We are dedicated to all the ways that the sacred and holy arise afresh in the world. Our God, if we have one, might be named novelty and creativity. Catholic theologian John Haught has written, "We can trust that there abides in the depths of the universe a forever fresh wellspring of novelty. For the world offers us endlessly novel forms of life and an inexhaustible and unsettling source of new modes of being." Haught calls this source God. We give it many names and no name at all. The sacred nature of the universe, as I understand it, is constantly renewing creation. It becomes then a spiritual practice, a statement of faith, not just to welcome the visitor, but always to be a visitor ourselves. To come here anew every Sunday to be recreated. To commune with the Spirit anew, to welcome other souls who find their way here newly every time we gather. When we think of ourselves as visitors, it might just keep us conscious of all who visit, those who have been here 30 years or three times or 3 minutes. When we remain visitors, when we keep ourselves ever open to what is new, what is growing, what is being created, what we are creating, then we are in touch with reality at its most foundational, at its most sacred. And if we can all consider ourselves visitors, we can also rest in the assurance that we are in this together. Together, we can transform lives that transform and heal the world. Blessed be, and amen.